Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, the beauty of baseball is you can sit next to your neighbor and have a conversation, or you can just completely ignore them.
Baseball spoken here. It's time for the second game of our radio doubleheader.
That is a reviewable play, but the Yankees choose not to review it.
A swing and a drive to deep right. Away back. Off the pole, Francisco Lindor.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch. A deep dive on baseball and the hottest topics in sports.
It's 2-2 in the bottom of the sixth, and I just can't get my eyes off that man with the tall head.
It's quite a game, but man, that guy is ugly. You know that guy hasn't blinked this entire game? Just a dead-eyed idiot out on a Thursday afternoon.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
We're going to be awesome for you right now.
On 1080.
Hey, one for one. That's about 1,000, dude.
That's baseball, baby.
Help us, please. Somebody help us.
The Fan.
Yeah. Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances. Finessing on them with some counterfeits. But now I'm counting this. Parmesan with my accountant lives. In fact, I'm down in this. You say with my boobie tastes like Kool-Aid for the analyst.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can check it out on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080 The Fan. Also, Beers on Us podcast drops tomorrow. Be a little quick hit this week. If you missed last week's, we were at Lewitt Brewing. That was a lot of fun.
That was a really good episode.
And some cool stuff in the future. So you want to tune in, download that bad boy tomorrow as it'll drop around 4 o'clock.
Including Joe Fisher as a possible correspondent in the field.
Ooh, maybe.
Probably doubtful, but God, I wish.
But I can dig it.
Probably doubtful.
Probably. I maybe might make it. Probably maybe.
I'm not 100% sure definitely.
Yeah.
60% of the time, every time.
So check that out. There's also the Better You Today text line at 55305. We have Fair or Foul at 8:15, excuse me, as we are now officially Hot Corner After Dark.
We are.
For it's dark outside now.
I know. I was enjoying the fact that it was still nice when we started the show. I was like, it's still sunny.
I'm a Hot Corner After Dark kind of guy, though.
I just like looking outside and seeing not blackness.
Yeah. Remember when you used to do this from 8 to 10?
It was like 3 months ago. Yeah,
that was brutal.
It was tough.
So real quick, I know we're kind of up against it, but I want to dive into the National League East and kind of talk about this division. And I am extremely intrigued about this division. And it's not even really because Bryce Harper signs with the Phillies. I do think that is clearly a factor that plays, but it's not my number one. It's just we have teams like the Nationals that have dominated this division for the last, what, 5-6 years?
Mm-hmm.
Who are essentially the same team. They just don't have Bryce Harper.
And they added Patrick Corbin.
So the staff gets better, but the hitting slumps a little bit. But they got some young guys and see how they turn out. So
they got a couple of really good young outfielders.
Yeah, so they're going to be still an interesting team. The Phillies, who, you know, I've been high on for the last year and a half, 2 years or so, because they're building and they look like they're ready to explode and they get Bryce Harper. The Mets still have, for my money, maybe the best pitcher in the game in Jacob DeGrom.
The Mets are trying.
And they're trying. They got Eddie Diaz on the back end, and who knows what Cano will do. Maybe he gets a new spark to actually try harder now that he's back in New York. Who knows?
Or he gets a new steroid distributor.
Yeah. The Marlins are going to be hot garbage, so let's not worry about them. And then the Braves. We got the Braves and the Phillies that are almost kind of the same-ish team right now in different departments, but teams that stockpiled a lot of draft picks, have a lot of guys with potential, have a couple breakout stars. The Braves did not sign somebody like a Bryce Harper like the Phillies did, but they've already got a guy like Freddie Freeman in place.
They had a weird winter compared to the rest of the teams. They struck early. They got Brian McCann back,
mm-hmm.
and they got Josh Donaldson to a pretty
cheap deal.
I mean, it was a decent amount, but friendly-ish, based on what he could give you. And they did nothing else. Their team is basically exactly the same. Well, they won the division last year.
They're banking on Acuna. They're banking on Ozzie Albies.
Yep.
And they're hoping Swanson has a better year.
And they're banking on some of their young starters. Tuki Toussaint's going to spend his whole year in the rotation now.
Yep. And Fulte,
Sean Newcomb.
Fulte's got a little bit of an elbow issue, but it sounds just like, you know, maybe some spring training stiffness, kind of usual per se. Let's not say the dreaded two letters. I think this division is extremely interesting. I think the Mets are the biggest wild card of all of them. If they could be good, because they are trying, but we don't really know. But where do you line up Braves, Phillies, Nats? Let's not forget the Phillies have a new closer too in David Robertson.
This is a really tough one. But I think because of the addition of Bryce Harper, but also all the other really savvy moves that they made, getting Real Muto in the trade from the Marlins.
Gene Segura.
Getting Segura from the Mariners, signing Andrew McCutchen.
Getting rid of Carlos Santana, I think was a good move for them.
Their rotation has had another year. It was fairly young, has had another year to kind of figure it out.
Arrieta's had a full spring training, which he didn't have last year because he held out.
One of the best pitchers in baseball in Aaron Nola.
Yep.
A couple of guys in Pivetta and Eflin and even Velasquez who has had stretches of good play who could strike while the iron's hot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would pick them first. Their bullpen is better than it was last year with Robertson at the helm, and they have a couple of good relievers who are in the setup role now. So I'd probably say Phillies first, and then I'd probably go, you know, I'd probably say Nationals second.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to give the Braves this much of a drop in the standings, like saying, oh, you're going to go from first to third. But what the Nationals have right now is really intriguing to me. Their starting rotation at the top is really good. It's kind of iffy at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Anibal Sanchez and Jeremy Hellickson. So you don't know what you're getting from four and five.
But Scherzer, Corbin,
Strasburg
is pretty nice.
You got a great closer in Doolittle who had a really good year last year. You're taking a flyer on Trevor Rosenthal as a setup guy who used to be good for the Cardinals, but he's kind of hit some rough times. But your lineup to me is rebuilt and young. You've got Trey Turner still 100% there in his stride. You saw the emergence of Juan Soto last year.
Yep.
You've got one of the top prospects, if not the top prospect in baseball, in Victor Robles in center field, who's going to be starting for you this year. And to me, that's super exciting. You brought in Brian Dozier, who was just a good power bat to hit in the middle of your lineup. And you got Rendon still, and Eaton's going to hopefully be healthy, although that's never the case.
That's the interesting. I was just about to say, I think Adam Eaton is the interesting part of that. If he can stay healthy this year, does he go back to that ridiculous contract they signed him for?
So to me, it's that might be the second place team, because sure, they lost Bryce Harper, but they're still the same team that's been really good the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
I know they finished in third last year too. They behind the actually no, they came in second, right? The Phillies dropped to third last year.
Yeah, the Phillies dropped. But I mean, as I have gone on the record on this show, and you know, I might sound like a hater, but I don't, you know, I'm not as in love with Bryce Harper as everybody else is. And when you go back and look at some of his stats, how much was he really helping? You know, I wonder if no Bryce Harper lifts a little bit of that cloud over them, that now guys like the young kids, especially if Robles gets a shot, but like the Trey Turners and the Sotos of the world, are they going to feel like, okay, now it's my time to shine. Now I have a chance to be the guy, as opposed to just sitting back and it's like, oh, I guess Bryce will bail us out. No. He's not here anymore. Now you have to bail us out. I wonder what kind of effect that'll have on the team. I think it'll be positive.
I kind of was going to say
because
the same
I think,
thing.
Just because I think Bryce has, just being honest, I think Bryce has kind of a negative aura to him. You know, it's that cocky, that arrogance that lifted, I think, alleviates some pressure, especially up the young kids.
I think for the Braves, to me, I feel bad about it because I like the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
I love Acuna. I think Albies is really good. Freeman is amazing and one of our favorite players. I like Ender Inciarte a lot.
Yeah. Do they still have Markakis?
They do. He had a
great first half.
Almost a resurgence last year, yeah. But their pitching staff scares me. I like the young guys in it, but I mean, Julio Teheran hasn't been good in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Kevin Gausman, they brought in from Baltimore. He's never proven to be what people thought he was going to be. Their bullpen's not super great either. Vizcaino's the closer. He's decent, but generally their bullpen's not very good.
Yeah.
I know they've got Soroka in the minors, one of the starting pitchers who's really highly regarded. but he came up last year and got hurt and then went back down again and never really figured it out fully. I know they still have a good staff, but generally I'm expecting a little bit of a step back for them, which sucks because I actually liked watching them in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, I think just to wrap this up, I think I'm with you. I think I take the Phillies to win this division almost by default, but not in like a it's the Dodgers. No, I don't mean it like that.
They added so many good players.
Yeah, I think they've just done it the right way. They got some free agency help this year. They might still be in on the Keuchel market. Who knows? So I'll take the Phillies, but don't sleep on the Braves and the Nationals. And as this texter points out, the Mets could be a nice sleeper. Decent top half rotation. Cano, Cespedes, Lowry, Frazier. If Conforto takes the next step, then they could be decent. And as this texter says, the best closer in the game.
I am not high on the Mets at all.
I'm not high on them. But
the Mets rotation is great, right? It's probably the best in baseball.
Ooh, easy. Watch yourself.
But you're right. Maybe the Indians are the best in baseball. Top two, top three.
Mets have the best pitcher in baseball.
And the only problem is that every single year for the last three or four, we've said this, and then Syndergaard gets hurt, and Wheeler gets hurt, mm-hmm. and
Steven Matz. And
Matz doesn't pan out the same way that we thought he would.
Right.
And then I don't love their lineup. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. The additions they made are sexy and Robinson Cano and Diaz, great. You got a good closer, which you didn't have.
For sure, which
is good. But I don't believe in Brandon Nimmo or Michael Conforto, really. So it's guys to me that I just don't trust very much.
I guess I'm just saying it's worth keeping an eyeball on. I'm with you. I think they're garbage. It's just worth keeping an eyeball on. All right, when we come back, we'll get into Fair or Foul, and we'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan.
Single here in the fourth, and nobody noticed.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 8:20. This is Fair or Foul. Move to a new time. We'll do this every single week at the 8:15 slot. So we turn it over to our producer, the fantastic Mr. Joe Fischer.
All right. We got some AL West Fair or Foul topics.
Ooh-wee.
How about that? We first start with the Seattle Mariners. Their season has started overall, rather.
Number one team in baseball.
And 1-0 overall on the season, leading the AL West for now. But the big story with them being in Japan, rather, is Ichiro and everything. Did you guys know that Nintendo basically saved the team back in 1992, I believe it was?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
And I feel like this is a not brought up topic enough about why they're over in Japan. I think they're just showing some love also to the Japanese faithful for basically giving them some help with Nintendo and giving them one of the best players of all time. But I digress.
But I do think there is a bit, and John will say this, he hated the Nintendo owners because they were absentee owners. They just gave money to the team and didn't do anything,
right?
Which didn't really help. And right. I think they've sold the team now since. So.
Yes, they are no longer the owners.
There you go. Okay, so we move on to Ichiro, though. He's pretty good. Got a lot of singles in his career. Career average.
That was a low blow, Joe.
Well, I was looking at his stats tonight, and my God.
Great hitter. A lot of singles.
Yeah. career average of 311.
There you go.
Fair or foul, Ichiro's career average of 311 is a top 100 average of all time, according to Baseball Reference. Oof. And they do have their criteria, minimum of 1,000 innings played, all that stuff. So they've definitely gone through their P's and Q's for this list.
You said 311?
311.
That's tough. I feel like, to me, my first thought was no, it's not. But when I've looked at a lot of stats recently of players, I realize how many players didn't hit in their career above 300. They hit 298 or maybe barely above 300.
Like Pujols is going to finish just below 300.
So I'm going to say fair, top 100 average.
I think it's fair too. I think there are a decent amount of people that finished at like 306, 304, 308. But 311, I feel like puts Ichiro high enough that how many guys can you name finished over 311? That's kind of where my brain is. So I'll
I can name plenty, but a top 100, you're giving me a large range.
Yeah, so I'll stick with Mike and I'll say fair, although I feel it's a trap.
This is fair.
Nice.
I thought it was a trap because I was going to say foul.
He is tied at 97 alone And granted, they
don't. Wow, that low. I thought he'd be higher.
Last couple of years probably didn't.
They
help.
Do go to not just the thousandth decimal point. They go one further. So he has a career average of 3.111, which puts him right above Rip Radcliffe and right under good old baby doll Jacobson. Who could forget him, right?
Who's number one? Ted Williams?
Number one Tony G. time. Scrolling. Ty Cobb. 3.662.
Stop. Mm. You're turning me on right now.
Billy Hamilton, 7 at 3.444.
What?
And not the Billy Hamilton you're thinking
of. Yeah, I was like, what? What are we talking about
here?
I
had to click it myself, too. I was like, what the hell?
How did he go in the 20th round of our draft? He might even still be a free agent. He's batting 360.
Pretty interesting list. The only active players in the top 100 right now, Joey Votto, Miguel Cabrera, and Jose Altuve right now.
Jose Altuve makes the credit right now?
Yeah, he makes the criteria. He's at 64.
Joey Votto.
All right.
I think we're going to look at him and wonder, should we put him in the Hall of Fame?
Moving on.
Yes. Yes. The answer is yes.
Yes, I think so.
We are against it. What is it? So next one is about the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw. He's not going to be available for opening day. And as the season gets closer and the more we hear about him, the more question marks are raised. So fair or foul, Kershaw Dodgers are in some trouble this season.
You first, me first.
Shoulder soreness. Not encouraging, Mike.
I'm going to say foul. And I understand what's been happening with Kershaw lately. Well, that was a bad turnover. And the Johnnies missed the wide open layup. I understand he hasn't been quite as healthy lately. There's been some injuries. But yet, for the most part, when he's come back, he's still been Clayton Kershaw. And I'd much rather this injury be happening now in spring training when he can nip it in the bud and get it dealt with before the real heat of the season gets on in the middle of the year. And I'm going to say foul. I think he will, once he's healthy, have a very good season.
Not to continue to bring up fantasy for the day, but maybe it's just because we had a draft recently, so it's on the brain. I stared at Kershaw for multiple rounds, and I did not go for him. And I think a lot of people felt the same way. I'm going to go fair on this. I think Kershaw might be done in terms of a consistent pitcher. I think he's going to show signs of greatness, signs of the Hall of Famer that he is. But in terms of leaning on him to be the anchor of that staff, I think Walker Buehler might be time to have that guy be your new anchor.
Well, I love Kershaw. In the beginning,
so. I love Kershaw to death, and he's a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. I just wonder if this is it.
Yeah, this one's fair. Dodgers are screwed. They're Kershaw, he's done for. No, actually,
the Dodgers are hosed.
Looking last year,
are you even good?
He finished with a 9-5 record, but 20 out of his, I believe, 26 starts were quality starts. So again, win losses, not telling the full story there.
So he was good.
So yes, he was good last year, despite, you know, having a low win record, only 9. So we move on to our last one. It is Mike Trout related. Obviously, the big story this week, $430 million on that 12-year contract. So fair or foul, Mike Trout's total money in his deal, again, $430 million, is more than the gross domestic product of 5 countries in the world.
Fair.
Oof.
Fair.
Well, I do know that he
has to be. There are so many countries that are poor.
Yeah, and like America.
Wait.
You said his
North or South?
United States. We're poor.
Countries in America?
Yeah, dude, we owe more than we make. That makes us poor.
I didn't say states. I said countries in the world.
I know. The United States. No. America.
No.
We do have $3 trillion of debt.
Yeah, man, and we don't make that much. Therefore, we're... Anyway, I digress. Yeah, this has got to be fair, right?
Has to be fair.
I heard that with this...
There's some small island country that's GDP is like $90 million.
With this and his previous salary, which wasn't that much, pushes him to like $530 million total earnings in like, just baseball.
Like Macedonia.
And that makes him number one baseball of all time. Number one, maybe even number one American athlete.
Number one baseball all time.
He's the biggest professional contract in all sports.
Well, yeah, but his total earnings when that's done makes him number one. And that includes 2 A-Rod 250 deals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll say fair as well.
You guys are biting on this? Absolutely correct. It is fair. He has more money in his deal than the GDP of Micronesia. Palau? I don't know. 300 mil, though, is what they're rocking with. Marshall Islands, Kiribati, and the small Polynesian country of Tuvalu. Only 45 million.
Let me tell you something.
45 million GDP for Tuvalu.
I said some small island country.
I like 90 million.
And I said Macedonia. Micronesia.
Starts with an M.
I'm going to give myself some credit for getting that partially right, okay?
All right. And
God,
then
you're so cool, Mike.
And then
I love geography.
A quick fair or foul, because we were talking about story time with Uncle Patrick, and I don't know if he'll be able to visit as much. So fair or foul, a former MLB player in the 30s tried to hijack an airplane, leading to his death.
I think I saw this the other day. I think the answer is fair.
I was going to say fair just because I imagine some guy named Jimmy Bob the Shooter Gavin.
old Hoss Radburn or whatever the guy's name is. This is fair.
I love how you could just be like, old microphone sticky. You know?
You're like, yeah, that was really a guy.
Old broken windshield.
It was a Len Konecki.
I don't know why I went to Shooter McGavin there.
Born in 1904, died in the air, I guess, in 1935. He was on the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants, and apparently he was just a big a-hole that the Dodgers kicked him off the team. And after being sent home from a road trip, he caught a couple of commercial flights, passed out on a layover in Toronto, and drank a ton of whiskey before the flight, got
shocking.
All smashed, and was obviously very unhappy with his state of life, had a disagreement with the pilot and a passenger, and attempted to take control of the aircraft. And that led to someone on the airline taking a fire extinguisher, striking him over the head, and he died from a cerebral hemorrhage once they were able to land.
The plane didn't even crash. He died from getting hit in the head for being an a-hole.
Yeah. He was trying to hijack the airplane, fire extinguisher to the back of the dome.
Deuces.
Len Konecki. 3 years in the MLB. So there was a domestic terrorist in the MLB at one point.
See you, brother.
Here's your history fact and fair or foul for the evening.
May we never see his like again. All right, when we come back, a little minor league chat as they attempt to revamp the system. But first, here's Joe with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
It's an A-bomb from A-Rod.
That's right, my friends. Season's coming. We almost here, baby.
The season's here.
Ah.
It is. It technically is here.
I don't get up at 4 in the morning to watch soccer. I'm definitely not staying up till 2:30 to watch baseball.
Understood. But the thing that makes me a little bit sad is that the season opens next Thursday, which is Sweet 16 day.
Oh, brutal.
So it's
March Madness. The tournament started late this year, didn't it?
I think it did, yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Because usually it does tend to interfere with some of the March Madness games. But the fact that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the first 4 days of the baseball season are the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, I wish I had 7 screens at my house.
Well, a very good friend of mine, his birthday is the Ides of March, March 15th. And for years, he would go down to Vegas with a bunch of our friends and do a little Vegas trip for his birthday and bet a ton of money on the tournament. And that was last Thursday.
Okay.
Friday was the 15th. Friday was the 15th.
Yeah.
So I think we're a week late this year.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Oh, well, whatever. We survive.
We'll watch them both and be happy. It's just, I love that first Thursday to totally engross myself in baseball. I'm going to watch the Sweet 16. I mean, I have to.
Right,
so.
Right. It's great. It's excellent.
So, I mean, I gotta find multiple screens to put up in ways that make sense.
God, imagine if you were the NBA on that day. You're just like, and I quit.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not.
There is going to be NBA on that day.
We're just like, ah, crap.
Blazers are on. Sorry, Blazers.
Yeah, nobody cares. Some interesting things coming out of Major League Baseball in reference to minor leagues. It came out the other day that the Toronto Blue Jays have decided to increase the salaries of their minor league players.
There you go.
Which has kind of sparked this new conversation being taken place about just the quality of life for minor leaguers in general. And I'm reading this this article that Jeff Passan put out of ESPN, and there's some new proposed changes that include a significant increase in salaries, a higher standard of living conditions, and better transportation. I think this is very interesting because there is, I was looking into this, and there are no real, like, rules about how much a team pays their minor league players.
Generally, it is crap.
But is this not the future of stacking your minor league system? If you've got better, the best transportation, we pay you more money.
Yeah, but you don't get to choose what minor league system you play for.
Right, right, right. But I mean, in terms of, I don't know, guys that are free agents, I suppose, would you not want to play for a minor league squad that gives you better provisions?
Yeah, sure. But I also think that if not everyone's doing it, then really high competition, you're going to have a less likely chance to sign there. Or if you do sign there, you might have less likely chance to make it to the majors. I can see both ways, but yeah, you're right. I guess I didn't consider the minor league free agent market, but
I know I probably looked into this too deep because the real story is just
these players need to be treated better.
Yes, yes. The major league players, whether you're the pinch hit base runner that bats a whopping .48 or .048, you know, that your life is 1,000 times better than the best player on the AAA team. And this is a really great thing. I think if anything, this could create more excitement for minor league baseball. Like if we're putting this money into it and giving these guys a better quality of life, maybe they have a better quality of play instead of just grinding.
I don't know.
Am I all over the place on this?
I think you're thinking way too deep and hard about this. The baseball is...
I've watched Bull Durham too much, huh?
Minor league baseball is what it is. It is a great local product for the cities that it is in. It is a great way to develop players and get them to the majors. But generally, Major League Baseball fans could give two craps about minor league baseball.
Facts.
What I think we all know, and there have been numerous stories about this, is they don't get paid well. They have terrible transportation. Because they don't get paid well, they don't get to live in places that are even close to livable. I remember stories. I used to intern for an independent minor league baseball team when I was in college, and there was the New Jersey Jackals. And I remember stories from those players who hung on for a long time. They're like, I don't get anything for this. I don't live in a nice place. We travel on school buses, and I just do it because I love the game. But most people at that level in the independent minor leagues are basically saying, I'm out. I don't want to live like this, right?
Yeah.
My dream is not going to be fulfilled here. I'm not in a system. And it is such a low quality of life that it's embarrassing. So I'm all for this because the amount of money in baseball, I mean, God, you can't afford to give these players livable incomes.
It's a $3 billion industry.
Yes. And it does not need to be crazy, right? You don't need to pay them millions of dollars or even hell, six figures, but give them salaries that are attainable so that they can have a family and enjoy their lives.
Yeah, that their family can take care of themselves while you're on the road for, you know, 80 days out of the year.
Yes. 100% agree.
I like this.
I mean, it's about time. I'm surprised it took this long in the first place, but I guess in any corporation, anywhere you can save money, even at the expense of other people, that will happen.
Right, right. But I wonder, I'm probably looking at this way too deep, and I know it's more of like, we're in the talking stages and it's more about quality of life. And I've brought up a couple other points and I definitely think I'm looking too much into this, but what's the ripple effect of this to other sports? Like we've seen baseball in the past many, many times, whether it's, you know, racial issues or free agency issues or, you know, drug policies that baseball, you know, is not clean. It's not, you know, error-free, but they have usually been at the forefront of trying to make positive change. I wonder if increasing the minor league lifestyle could have a ripple effect into other leagues, whether it's the D League or the G League, I should say, for NBA or, dare I say, college football, college basketball. But I just mean like in this quality of life in terms of like trying to create a better environment for those trying to be professionals, can this trickle into other places?
I'm not going to pretend to know what G League players make or what players in the WHL and hockey make or anything like that. I don't know.
Right. I don't know either.
We're at the break. I can't look it up this fast. I have not heard that they are paid poorly. You always hear that minor league baseball players are not treated fairly, very, very well.
Right.
So I have not heard that in the G League, and I have not heard that in the various minor league systems in hockey. So I'm assuming they're doing okay for themselves. So I think it's just baseball being stuck in the past and finally catching up. And in football, there's no minor league system.
Yeah, it's college is a football.
Whole. It's a whole different thing.
right.
Of course, they deserve to get.
I didn't mean to open that can.
They deserve to get paid, but it's different than this. I think this is baseball just getting
catching up,
right with the times. Yeah.
All right. Well, kudos to them. I mean, anytime you're going to do something to make sure these guys are taken care of and can play baseball still at a semi-professional level and potentially get a chance at the bigs at the show, then why not? All right, when we come back, we will finish this bad boy up as we do every single week. I'm Patrick Harris. That's Mike Lynch filling in behind the glass. This is the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
It's 8:49 here as we wrap this bad boy up. Big John Skanek in the house next week, which is always fun. Woo. Preview kind of the series season on a whole. Chat a little Mariners, talk the American League West. 2 hours goes by in about 10 minutes. That's definitely worth listening to. I did something crazy this week, Mike.
You did.
She's gone.
Oh, all of it. The hair. I was like, your car?
What did I do to my car?
Well, I know you love your truck, so I was like, it's had a couple of issues the last couple of months.
Oh, no, she's good. Yeah, the truck is riding high right now.
You are now not clean shaven, but you've got the very, very beginnings of stubble.
This is about as clean as I go.
And you no longer have the blonde, platinum blonde hair.
Yep. I went to a wedding this weekend.
Yes.
And instead of shaving my head to look good for the wedding, I did it when I got home.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's a story behind that.
We don't need to get into that. but I'll tell you what, man, it feels great. When I had the long hair, I couldn't really wear baseball hats forward. They looked weird.
That's one of your favorite things.
Yeah, and they looked weird on me, especially because everything now is snapbacks. I could wear the snapbacks backwards, but I'm not a Tony Romo. I prefer to wear them to the front. Sometimes I cock a little bit to the right to give a little homage to one of the greatest Indians pitchers of all time, Carsten Charles Sabathia III.
Oh.
No, not Fernando.
Rodney.
No, definitely not that.
He pitched in the game last night.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
So there was a Rodney alert?
There was a Rodney
at
alert.
At like 4 in the morning?
I believe it was, I was on the DVR. Yeah, it would have been about 5 a.m. at that point.
When did the game, how long, do you know what game runtime was?
Again, no, I don't. Off the top of my head, I do not know. I was kind of having fun with it because I finished watching it at a certain time, and I was looking at the DVR. I think it went 3 hours and maybe 15 minutes.
Wow, in a 9-7 game?
Yes.
3:15.
I believe, but I can 9-7 see if I can find game. That.
Well, it probably helped that ESPN late at night, probably not a ton of commercials.
No, but remember, we also now have the new rule. You can only do 2 minutes in between innings.
Oh, right.
Granted, it was 2:30, but that saves you a couple minutes here and there.
I still love the fact that a baseball game went 9-7. How many pitching changes? Probably 6 total. 9-7, 6 pitching changes, 3 hours, 15 minutes. And y'all say baseball's too slow and takes too long. You know what takes too long? Commercials in the NFL. That's what takes too long. How many times do I need to learn about Geico?
There were 5 pitchers for the Mariners, 7 for Oakland.
So we had 13 pitching changes. Sorry, 12 because I can't do math. 12 pitching changes, 16 runs, 3 hours, 15 minutes.
I'm going to double check to see if I can't find an official time for it.
It's
wasn't
not 12 pitching changes.
It wasn't on my CBS app.
10.
And ESPN stopped showing these things. It used to be very easy to find on ESPN at the bottom of the box score.
They're trying to take baseball away from us, man.
How long it was, but I don't know where to find this information anymore.
They're trying to sabotage us. They don't want us to love the great game of baseball anymore.
Maybe they do, and they're saying, don't look at how long this took.
Yeah, because then our Skip Bayless and people like that can't say anything about how this game is actually not super slow. Bunch of chumps, that's what I always say. bunch of yahoos. I'm looking at it right now. Let's see. There's the scoring summary, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, man, they're not making it easy on us. What do we got to do? We got to go to roster resource skin? No, because they don't do scores. Do we need to create one, Mike? You and me? Is this how we get rich?
Ah, yes, for that small, small percentage of people that really, really need to know the length of every single MLB game.
Well, I think it's serious when everyone talks about a game's too long. It takes forever. No, your whining takes forever, and your Pepsi commercials and halftime shows take forever.
All right. Tell me how you really feel, then.
Oh, I know you're being sarcastic, but there's actually truth there because that is not exactly how I feel. There's just a lot of things I cannot say on the air.
Trying to find it still. I'm on MLB.com because if anyone will have it, yes! Thank you, MLB.com. You're not trying to take the game away from me.
See, they're the greatest.
3 hours and 24 minutes.
I love it. I love it. 12 pitchers, 15 runs.
16 runs.
16 runs. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Although I think they're trying to get under the 3 hour mark for me.
Well, I understand that, but that's a high scoring game, so I'm with it.
All right.
All right. There's that. Baseball rules. Next week, Big John Sukanik on the show. Check out the Beers on Us podcast. That'll drop tomorrow. That should be pretty fun. For Joe Fisher, Mike Lynch, I am Patrick Harris. We'll be back next week. And let's do it. Baseball, baby. Do something I do.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.